am I. Take your Bibles, please. Turn to John chapter 16. John chapter 16, we're going to read verses 1 through 13 together. We'll read this passage responsively. John chapter 16, verses 1 through 13. We'll read this passage. I'm going to pray. We'll have our special, and then I'm going to introduce Dr. Anderson to come preach to us, and as soon as I'm done, he'll come. And Doc, you just take it from there. I'll follow your lead. And I don't say that to too many people, trust me. John chapter 16, verses 1 through 13. Read responsively with me, if you will. "These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh, that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father, nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, Whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have not many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now." And let's finish on verse 13. Ready? "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." And let's pray. Father, we sure do need you this morning. Holy Spirit, please rest upon this service, be upon Brother Anderson. Lord, may we have our ears listening to the Holy Spirit and our heart so that we can be in tune with him and with you. Lord, I pray that you just change us today. If there's one here not sure of heaven today, I pray that they get saved. Lord, if there's one that's saved and just running and rebellious, I pray that they get right today. Lord, please, may we find what we need in you today, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, it's main course time. Normally, I get to preach right now, and I just don't give my pulpit up. But I'm telling you what, I don't have a problem giving it up for Dr. Russell Anderson. Yes, you can give him a hand. This is a clappingest bunch of people that you ever met. Dr. Anderson just turned 87 years old this last Wednesday, and he and I share a common... Our birthdays are 1 week apart in a few years. but I want to say this. I owe Dr. Anderson a debt. I graduated from a college that, probably 40 plus years ago, he invested the first $300,000 in. And years later, I went there as a college student and trained under Dr. Jack Hiles. Later, a few years after that, after we'd been in the ministry a while, I went back and worked for Dr. Hiles, taught at the very college that I graduated from, that man gave the money to train me. Amen. Doc, this side of heaven, I'll never be able to repay you. I promise you. But God's been good. Amen. I've gotten to see over 25,000 people get saved just in my ministry. That's not the churches that I've been in, but my personal ministry. There's an awful lot of people going to heaven because you invested that money in one person. My wife graduated there and I met her. I wouldn't have my wife. I wouldn't have my kids. Let me tell you what I mean by that. He invested about $1 million into Commonwealth Baptist College to help get it started. My son Josh graduated from there, married a young lady from Florida, and now they're in the ministry. My son went there, spent a year in Bible college, and now is a layman in the church there working on being a police officer, works a bus route, preaches in a junior church. And Brother Fugit's his pastor, and I'm glad he's there. My daughter's going to be a senior. She thinks she is. Going to be a senior in Bible college and probably going to marry the toe-headed idiot. Be engaged soon. And they're going to serve God full-time with their lives. Say why? Because that man right there. Amen. You never know who you're going to touch and who you're going to influence. Dr. Anderson grew up in Kentucky in the coal mines. Worked in the coal mines when he's a young person. Got tired of working in the coal mines. Went to Michigan and started working and started his own business. He at one time had many businesses. And God used Dr. Anderson to make multiplied tens and tens of millions and millions of dollars. I honestly don't know, and I just can't ask him how many millions he's given away. But I know this, he's probably given close to $100 million away for the work of God. But can I tell you something? He and I were talking last night. There is not a man in world history that has seen as many people saved as Dr. Russell Anderson. Over 25 million people have been saved because of the giving of that man. That's just what he can track. That's not our church and the influence of this church. God's helped him start 2,000 churches. You say, well, did God call him to preach? No, he's a Christian businessman, but he's so godly, man. We just started having him preach years ago, and thank God for him. He doesn't live fancy. Now, he could. But he just believes in serving God and loving God. And let me tell you something. I owe Dr. Russell Anderson an awful lot. This church does. The reason Mr. Jim Bossy's sitting right there and that they helped us purchase our property is because of Brother Anderson. He said, there's somebody I want you to call. Brother Bossy, you met me here and I said, this goes against everything that's in me. I don't call people and tell them I have a need, but I got to obey Dr. Anderson because I fear God. Almost word for word, isn't it? I said, this is very awkward to me because I don't do that. And I promised Brother Bossy that day, if you help us, great. If not, great. You're my friend. I don't need your money to be your friend. Amen. This church is your friend no matter what. And I thank God for the influence of Dr. Russell Anderson. Brother Anderson, you come preach to us this morning, please.
Okay, thank you very much. You may be seated. I hardly know where to start. I've got over 50 sermons here.
Boy, man.
And I don't know, so I'll just trust the Holy Spirit to tell me what to say. First of all, I want to read you something. I want to read you something and then make a comment. A tax collector came, one time years ago to a poor servant of the Lord. He's a Christian man, determined the amount of taxes he'd have to pay. He said, what property do you possess? Asked the elder. He said, I'm very wealthy, replied the Christian. List your possessions, please, the elder instructed. First, I have everlasting life.
Man.
The Bible says in John 3:16, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish, but have everlasting life. How long is everlasting?
Forever.
Huh? Forever, right? No ending. No. Okay. He said, I have everlasting life. Second, I have a mansion in heaven.
Amen.
Third, I have peace that passes understanding. Fourth, I have joy unspeakable. Boy, have I seen that this morning in this church.
Amen.
Fifth, I have divine love that never fails. God's love never fails. Think he loved you and I so much, he let his son to die for you. Now, I don't love you that much. I'll give you money, but I wouldn't give you one of my children, but God did. Hey, let me tell you this. You know, the other day in a schoolhouse in Texas where the 10 children were killed? Huh?
Yes, sir.
The 10 were killed? Somebody asked God, said, why did you let them children die? He said, I wasn't down there. They kicked me out of the schoolhouse years ago.
That's right.
Now, you think about it, a stupid Supreme Court and the stupid judges and the crooked politicians as absolutely, then they won't don't mention God.
Man.
And so, boy, I like to stop there. Six, I have a faithful wife. There's a faithful wife. A man here coming today said we had eight in our Sunday school church, in our Sunday school class saved, and talking about being on the bus route and everything. Boy, that's success.
Man, yes, sir.
Millionaires don't influence me. People like that, so that's the only thing I live for. Yeah. Seventh, I have a happy, healthy, happy, obedient children. Eighth, by the way, that's the result of men and women of raising your children in the church.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Now, my dad and mother never one time told me about heaven or hell, and never one time took me to church in 28 years in the hills of Kentucky. For 28 years, I did everything I shouldn't have done. Donald Trump, what he's done is an angel to what I did. For 28 years, I never heard the gospel. I was in seven car wrecks, cut my eye in the ear. If I died, then I'd go to hell. It's a daddy's responsibility to teach their children to God.
Amen.
And so then I heard the gospel when, later on, but I'm not going to. Says eight, I have true loyal friends. This friend here, he said some great things about me. And so I praise God for that, for his testimony. Ninth, I have songs in the night.
Amen.
Tenth, I have a crown of life. And 11th, I have a Savior, Jesus Christ, who supplies all my need. And text assessor quotes his book and said, you truly are a very rich man, but your property is not subject to taxation.
Amen.
Now, this is appropriate for me to live this year. I get up here. I'm trying to depend upon the Holy Spirit. I've met a group of Christian brother Bob said that loves God.
Yes, sir.
You and I have the privilege of being a lot of rich people today. We don't want to get to run shoulders with the rich people. Yes. Let me tell you, you're rich. Now you may not have $1 million to show me where money produces happiness.
That's right.
So it's my privilege today, and Brother Bob, I'm sure I speak for you too, to be with a group of rich people.
Amen.
Huh? Hey. Huh? So what good's money? If money was happiness, I'd be in Waikiki Beach right now. Y'all flew out there Monday night. I'd have some hula girls bring me up pineapple juice. But money don't produce happiness. Money destroys the wisest man in the world and the richest man in the world.
Yes.
Solomon, read what it did to him before he died.
Yes,
can you imagine reading about picking a paper up and reading that Russell Anderson is buying, building Catholic churches and Jehovah's Witnesses and idols and all these idols and that? Well, that's what Solomon did.
That's right.
And if I didn't keep going to church and reading my Bible, that's what I could have done, I guess. On some length, but I'm with a rich group of people this morning.
Man.
You don't know you got a bunch of rich people there.
Yes, sir.
And so you wait till you die and go to heaven and you see what you've got. You're going to be riding a Cadillac and these some people are going to be riding a bicycle because they haven't done anything for God like you are. Bible said, I'll reward every man according to his own labor.
Yes,
if you work for me, I had seven businesses going at one time. If you work for me, I pay you accordingly what you did for me. If you work 40 hours, I pay you for it. You only worked, 24 hours, you only get 24. If you only work 1 day, you only get 1 day's pay. Now, there's going to be different rewards in heaven. The Bible teaches that every man shall be rewarded according to his own labor. And so he's going to work okay. And you people here, I hear your testimonies. And the pastor's talking about what you're doing. And the buses, and the man's taught Sunday school. And this man here, I enjoy him singing it, him and his wife. You got joy in heaven.
Yes, sir.
You know what? You're going to have rewards in heaven. So the more here's the importance. You imagine a 28-year-old man who never heard the gospel, been in seven car wrecks, and police should run me out of Hazard, one Kentucky, two or three counties shooting at me. And Boss Hogg's deputies never did hit me. We outrun them. And so never heard the gospel. And now it's amazing. And I don't know this. I've got notes everywhere. Somebody said, I asked the preacher one time, you preach from notes? He said, I preach for cash. I like to start this preaching from notes. and so I just want to tell you how happy and such an honor and privilege for me to be a bunch of people that's on fire, that loves Jesus.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
And the happiness that comes out. Money don't produce happiness. I'm telling you, I've tried it. I quit a job in 1999 making $2.5 million a year. I haven't worked since 1999. I haven't missed a meal either. I never had my own bedroom till I was 26 years old, 27. And never had indoor plumbing till I was 26 or 27. And so back in the mountains of Kentucky, we had running water ran off side of the mountain. We had to run out and catch it. And a three-room house in the hills of Kentucky, seven of us, with one bedroom with no electricity, no running water. Now, I'm making a point. I'm going to get to it. That goes to show God is no respecter of persons. Now, let me tell you something that's going to help you. I've never been to college day in my life. I knew nothing about the Bible. I knew nothing about business. No, I don't come from a business family until I got saved. And so then I read in the Bible where God blessed men. Like, how many remember the story of David, who was 17-year-old, killed Goliath?
Huh? Yes, sir.
Okay. Then Joshua. Mm-hmm. Joshua, you read in him. Let me give you another young man. Daniel. Mm-hmm. Let me give you another one. Stephen. Joseph.
Yes, sir.
Joseph. He was his brother, you know, that dug up, put him in a pit and tried to, and it may go that direction of him sometime about 6 o'clock tonight. And so, now, I have a question for you. If we was to take an IQ test right now, or aptitude, or whatever you call it, GED or something other, most of you would leave me like I was in the cellar. You know so much more about this world than I do. You're smarter than I am, according to the books. And you take a test would prove it. But yet, God let me make a couple dollars more than you. Why? Because I went to the Bible.
Yes, sir.
My girls, I've raised 3 daughters. One's attorney and one runs a multi-million-dollar business. By the way, my daughters was 13, 14 years old. My wife packed them a lunch. They had to go to my apartments, clean apartments, all day long.
Mm-hmm.
$1 an hour. Today, one of them, she and her husband, me and her, and they both, he's a preacher. It's amazing what God's done through her life. Runs a business for 30 years. They write me a letter now, Daddy, thank you for teaching us how to work.
Yes, sir.
Our entitlement was, if we wanted a new pocketbook shoes, we had to work it out. I could send my children to college with a Cadillac and give them a Cadillac and a checkbook. I didn't. I wanted them to live just like your daughters had lived, probably,
yes.
You see. And so you didn't furnish her a Cadillac, did you?
No, sir.
Well, we're even then. I didn't furnish mine one either. But you see, you don't spoil your children. You teach them responsibility.
Yes,
you know, when I was 10 years old, I knew I'd shoot dynamite. I was in coal mines with my daddy taught me. You know, so the point I'm getting at, then, since God used David, what he did as a 17-year-old to kill Goliath, and there's Joseph became the, after 12 years, and so of in the pits in the prison, he became the, he's promoted to the, as a second in command. Now, I have a question. If God used them, and God's no respecter of persons, can you show me in the Bible where God loves the pastor more than he loves you?
No, sir.
Huh?
Not at all.
You can't show me, can you? That means God loves you just as much as he does the pastor.
That's right.
Amen. Yes, sir.
So, it's more we serve God, the more he serves us. Now, what keeps God? Why do we put limitations on God? Now, wait a minute. Now, as Christians, a lot of times, now, we will not give God a chance to prove himself.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so happened you're looking at two men today. He was 51 years old. He said he got saved. And you don't know the millions of people being in heaven because of the money he's given to God's work. But
that's
a big
right.
Shopping center. And he gave it all to God's work and all the revenue ever. I don't know how many churches he builds every year in that. And so, why can't God use you like he did David?
Yes, sir.
Huh? How about the woman at the well? Been married 5 times in John chapter 4. And she's living with a man. And Jesus said, go get your husband. She said, I don't have one. He said, I know it. Said, you've been married 5 times and you're shacking up with a man now. Oh. Come see a man that told me everything. He said, what did you come up here for? That well. He said, to get some water. I'm in the water business, Jesus said.
Yes, sir.
Huh? I'm in the water business. And so, And so she said, if you drink of the water I have, you'll never thirst again. She said, I want that water. And when she got saved, she went into town and started telling some of her cousins, a lot of the men she slept with probably, what Jesus had done, and practically the entire city come out and heard them. And I could turn to Acts and there's a sermon over that. But God used them. Now, if God can use a woman that's been married 5 times, she must have been a good-looking woman. I heard a story about, and I shouldn't tell this, with 2 deacons one time. A deacon called another deacon looking at a Playboy magazine. Don't you know God put both of your eyes out for looking at stuff like that? He said, I'll just take a chance on one of them then. And so, but God wants to use it. Give God a chance. I beg you. Give God a chance. You marry a wife, and if we treat their wives like we treat God, a lot of men a lot of times, you marry a wife, and you don't come home for dinner 2 or 3 nights a week, and you try that on them and see how long they keep us.
Yes, sir.
You see? And so, so what I'm saying is, we put limitations on God. Now, I gave God a chance to prove himself. When I was 28 years old, I heard the gospel, got on my knees, and asked Jesus Christ to forgive me of my sins and save me. And so, and then, the first Sunday, I gave $15. I made $150 a week. That's what my salary. And I take $150. I gave it first week. And my mother was not saved, and so she saw me put money in there, and she got up and bragged all week long. My son put $15. He put money in that tithe there. And we're from the old school back in Hills, Kentucky. We let the preacher work for himself. We're not giving him anything. And so I spoke to her. Later on, she was saved. 11 of my family was saved within 6 weeks after I got saved. That's all changed. That's what will happen if you're here and you're not saved today. If you'll get saved and live a life and prove to God you're going to serve him, you give God a chance to use him. And right now I've got 10, 11 of my relatives already in heaven. My brother, I preached his funeral. My sister. And then I've got cousins and uncles up in heaven. I think it's 10 or 11 that would not have gotten saved if I've not gotten saved. You see what this one person, if you're here today you're not saved, give me a reason why you're going to go out this building. I was on a ship, and I saw last September 17 people get saved when I was on a ship. I rent a room. We have a room where we have preaching every night. Mm-hmm. Brother Owens was with me last year. Kevin Wynn, 17 of us. No, there was 9 of us. We had 17, 47 people. I saw 17 people bow their head and ask Christ to forgive their sins and save them on that ship. And so I forgot my point I was going to make about being on the ship while I brought it. But anyway, I just start bragging on Jesus. I just tell people what Jesus did for me.
Yes, sir.
But it started because I decided I was going to give God a chance to prove himself.
Man.
Now, the reason why, you know, God's got Cadillacs and he's got all kinds of rewards. He's waiting on us to prove ourselves. Now, a lot of ladies, a lot of married ladies would go to say, boy, I wish God let my husband make $1 million. Now, wait a minute. You better watch about praying for that. Because if he's not going to Sunday school and church and Sunday morning, Sunday night, and if he's not tithing, and he starts making $1 million, he'll trade you in on a young one.
Yes, sir.
He'll way buy at you.
That's right.
He'll forget all those meals you cook for him, all his clothes he's washed, and he'll see you in the morning when he goes to see you don't have your makeup on and that, and then he'll go to see those nice-looking girls and the people he works around with, and he'll wave at you. So you better be careful. Money is a dangerous thing.
Yes, sir.
And you don't want to trade in you until you get a husband who's going to live for God.
Amen.
All this impromptu. I don't even look at my notes.
Yes,
my notes yet. Ain't this good? Ain't God good?
Amen.
I'm here to tell you that I'm here today because I gave God a chance. For number one, 28 years old, I asked him to forgive me my sins and save me.
Amen.
The first thing I did, then I had to get me some new friends. I couldn't hang out with those men that I've been drinking with and hear all those vulgar and nasty stories they tell. I had to get some new friends. But God gave me a church. It all went all over town. I got saved. I go to the grocery store with my wife and say, Brother Anderson, we heard you got saved. We're so glad at that.
Yes.
I got me a bunch of new friends. Now, that old friends, I'll tell you what, the old friends that are leading the wrong way.
Yes, sir.
Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Right. Behold, all things new. Yeah. And so another good test. Let me give you this. I haven't had a Budweiser in 57 years now. Amen. I wish I never had one. I wish I could say I've been raised in a Christian home like you have, young lady. I'd like to be. I'd give them $1 million. They wouldn't have to borrow the money. If I could be raised in a Christian home where dad and mama taught me from this high up about Jesus and put me and rock me to bed or sleep and I'd know how I love Jesus.
Amen.
In my rocking chair. I'd give a mate to have a dad and mama like that.
Yes, sir.
And I can tell you, Deuteronomy, and tell you that, I show you in Deuteronomy where God told the man, you're to teach your children. You teach them this.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
Now, because we bring them Sunday school and then once a week or church, it's everyday thing.
That's right.
When they'll start reading the Bible at night and having devotions. And a lot of say, well, I take mine to church. And there's more to that. Let me tell you, moms and dads, we are our children's first, first God. What they see out of us represents God.
That's right.
So that we need to start teaching them when the, I've got a 22-year-old great-grandson. Let me tell you about him. My wife died 5 years ago, and my dogs, I give my two dogs away, and I've got a whole bunch of love stored up. I haven't had anything to love on except Jesus. No human, now for over 5 years. They brought my little 22-year-old great-grandson to Hawaii this winter. And I said, I'm going to send him $50,000 when I get back in June. I'm going to give my daughter, my granddaughter, some of her inheritance today. And at 22 months old, he bowed his head and he'd ask a blessing on the food. And that's the way to train a child.
Yes, huh? Sir.
I train a child about Jesus. And so... Now I'm glad I told you about my grandson.
Man.
But it's our responsibility. Give God a chance to prove himself. You've already said that God loves you as much as he does, Pastor.
Right.
He loves you as much as he does, Brother Bossy and me. But we gave him a chance to prove himself.
Yeah.
When I go to the Bible and get these promises, they're for me too. Mm-hmm. You know, I spend the first four, I'll average this past week in Hawaii, the first 4 hours of every day, I won't hardly give an appointment. I don't like to take phone calls until after I spent 4 hours at least with reading the Bible, and I believe every promise this book is mine. I don't want to stop.
Mm-hmm.
I've got letters I wrote God. I don't want you to let me live. If you're going to stop me from speaking. I want to die on the battlefield. I don't want to die on the golf field.
Amen.
Amen. I'm 87 years old. I'm begging God. I may tell about it tonight that I've done so much. I made a covenant with God. If he let me live enough 3 more years, I said, God, I'm not spending everything. I can see the bottom of the barrel. I've got $1 million left. I'm going to give you over $1 million next 3 years. If you let me live 3 more years, I'm going to see 200 more churches built and 4 more million people saved. I outlined that to God. Abraham made a covenant with God. You know what we ought to do to get together as a family and have a covenant with God? I hope I get to preach on that tonight. I don't know. I'm making a covenant with God. Abraham made a covenant with God. And let me tell you about all our ex-presidents. I don't know how you got me off on this now. Not any of them had the nerve, grit, fortitude to recognize Jerusalem as the put an embassy there in Jerusalem. Not the rest of them, Democrats or Republicans.
That's right.
All of them sold us out. Dumb congressmen has got us 20-some trillion dollars in debt.
That's right.
They put everybody on their payroll and money to everybody except their dead grandma.
Yeah.
And so they've got us on debt. But they won't recognize God, but Donald Trump did.
Amen. That's right.
And I know what he did, but you know what I did the first 28 years? You wouldn't have me here either. He's an angel compared to what I did. I knew no better. I was raised up in the field. I was raised in Sodom and Gomorrah, hills of Kentucky where the moon shines, and the shooting and killing, and people cutting one another's throat and killing them, seeing them hauling them out in wagons with a wheel. It's just Sodom and Gomorrah. But when I got saved in 1959, I started going to church, number one. Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Mm-hmm. Just like some of you here. Now, since you've done that, I want you to start now. David said, boy, I'll turn the scripture, I won't do it this time. Thou through thy commandments has made me wiser than my enemies. Mm-hmm. I have more understanding than all my day. Why? Because I keep thy precepts.
Yes, sir.
So I'm here to tell you, give God a chance to prove himself. Amen. Now, some of you are. You wait till you get to heaven and see the rewards you have, and you see what some of these people, money of people won't go to church and think they're too good, their pride, they're too good. If I came to your church, and if there's a millionaire in your church, won't take me to his house for lunch today? And you always tell some of the poor families in this church, I'm bringing Russell Anderson over there, and we're going to have dinner with you. And so it scared you to death. But before I leave here, you'd be glad I came. Because if you would, only reason why I leave this millionaire's dinner have with him, if you had cornbread, pinto beans, fried taters, I'm coming to see you.
Amen.
You know I had beans and taters this week in Hawaii. I fixed my own meals.
Yes, sir.
Huh? God made anything better, he kept it for himself. But I'd rather have cornbread, pinto beans. That's better than any steak you ever had.
Yes, sir. Right.
Then you talk about them cupcakes. Got peanut butter on them?
Yes, sir. Ooh.
Oh. That's what God fed the children of Israel. I told a woman yesterday on the airplane, said, you want something to drink? One of the airlines said, yeah, I'll take a drink. I want a peanut butter milkshake. What? I had to tell her how to make a peanut milkshake. These ignorant, educated people, you know.
Yes, sir.
And it was. And so I wish I'd dwell there a little bit longer. I love peanut butter. And I often say this. A little bit mad at Brother Bossy. I call him often, and he and I, his wife died, mine too. And I was expecting him to bring two widows today here. And I said, you want you find two sisters, and then we marry them, and you and I become brother-in-laws. Yeah. But I said, don't bring me one unless, number one, here's the qualifications. She has to go to church with me two nights a week. She has to wear her dresses down to her knees. I'm old-fashioned. I don't want any of you men sitting above my wife's knee. I'm just call me anything you want to. And then I said she has to go to church, and then she has to be able to make good cornbread, iron skillet, 350 degrees before you put, and no sugar. And if you do, I'll divorce her.
Amen.
If you want a divorce, put sugar in my cornbread. That won't put sugar. You put sugar in cakes. Aren't you learning a lot?
Mm-hmm.
You don't put sugar in cornbread. How many old people who are old like them, you like cornbread in the skillet? Yeah, 350 degrees and pour it. And lard, oh.
Glory.
Hey, I'll tell you what, I said she has to be able to cook, make good cornbread, and she has to be a good kisser.
Man.
That's a qualification. I've told Brother Bossy, now you get two widows like that, and then we can marry them sisters. And then we become brother-in-laws. That's what I'm saying. And so, I don't know how you got me on that. But off on the Trump. I think the Trump started. Boy, his livelihood. And so, I told Pastor the other day, I said, here's what I like to do. All those news commentators, all those women and men that's criticizing Trump. Now, that's wrong. That's sin in God's eyes. He's paying for it today.
Yes,
you
sir.
Imagine him going home with his wife, and she's watching television that day, and they told that on her, and she... But she probably dated him before he's married. But here's what I like to ask all them commentators, all those women. That's cute. I'm going to give you a polygraph test. And you answer one question to me. And if you answer it right, if you answer it wrong, the polygraph test. How many men have you known in your life?
That's right.
I'll ask it with the men. How many women have you known in your life? I like to ask all those men that and get them to sign that. I'd be a rich man if I could attend that. It's wrong. It's wrong. One man for a wife. I've married 56 years. And so 56, 57, like that. My wife died. And so she's in heaven. And so now, but anyway, back to it. Give God a chance. I'm here to beg you to give God a chance to prove himself. How are you going to prove him? I'll tell you what. You just do what this whole church is. What you're doing, you're in the top five churches. See, I'm in a different church about every week. North Carolina last week and West Virginia about 3 weeks ago. And so I'll be in North Carolina, I think, the next week. I try to check my calendar and see where I'm. But I go to your church. So you're in the top five churches in America. With what that you're doing here, it's just in a rented building like this here, and it's got, and then having all these visitors come out. I'd like to... I'd like to trade. I'd give you, if you could, $1 million for your rewards in heaven. Mm-hmm. But you can't do that. But it'll say, you just don't know what you're doing in heaven.
Yes, sir.
You just don't know what God has written down, what's planned for. So a lot of you are rich. Now, I want to invite the rest of you. Let's get involved in this new building you're coming up with. God's going to get, that's a great opportunity for you to get rewards in heaven. Job said, naked he came in the world, naked to go out. They talk about one of the richest men in the world died one time. The hearse was going down the road, and somebody said, I wonder how much he left. He left it all. He left it all. Well, see, I knew Brother Bossy and I, we're putting it where the money, our money where it counts.
Yes, sir.
And so, starting churches and getting sent boys and girls saved, buying food. No widow has to go to bed hungry in my church if I know about it.
Right.
And so I give them Christmas presents, and my pastor knows that. Anybody, I'll make this here. If you don't have money for groceries next week and you need to book groceries, you'd be embarrassing if you come tell me that. It wouldn't be to tell the pastor and let the pastor tell me. I'll never know who you are until you get to heaven.
Right.
I'll buy you groceries. Just come tell the pastor and convince him. I have to say, you have to tell the pastor, because I know a lot of people have got millionaires lined up. One of my friends in Michigan, his wife told him one day, she said, I got 3 bags of groceries. I want you to take them down. They're going to have tomorrow's the day they come, poor people do, and to get groceries. And our church knows that we feed people. He said, I pulled up and I saw two big Lincolns and a Cadillac out there, and people was loading them trucks up. He said, I took my groceries back to the house. But just to say, so it won't bother me a bit. You know why I want to do that? You know, I got some money left. Mm-hmm. I want to get rewards in heaven.
Yeah.
He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord. You hear that?
Right. Mm-hmm.
If you see some poor person and buy them a meal, I've seen the time, but I know what it is. I've started working $1 a day in the cornfields. And one day I made $8.7 million. If that won't cost you to sell out and give God a chance, the difference is I gave God a chance to prove himself. You see, a coal miner and no education, and again, after this, you know more than I do. But I think I know a little bit more about the Bible, because I went to the Bible and got it. I got to now I got. A while ago, he read the scriptures, John 6:16. Let me tell you, I've got another sermon on this. I got 50 sermons here. Turn it over. I tell you on there. And so I got 2 more books, too, in the motel bill. And so, boy, all these are spicy. Well, here's one of Sunday school today. You got taught Sunday school today. He did a good job. Talked about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you about Jesus. I've got a sermon here. Holy Spirit. If you teach me what you taught Jesus, then I can do what Jesus did. A lot of things Jesus did. You know, Jesus never did anything until he's filled with the Spirit of God.
That's right.
For some 30 years or something like that. Now, we don't know much about Jesus until he's 12 years old. We knew about his birth, about the manger. But then in 12 years old, when they come to the temple to worship, and the missionary went back, his dad and mother missed 2 days and came back, and he was in the temple debating or teaching the priests and that, things about the scripture. Then and it tells about he was baptized, you know, when in Luke he baptized, and he came up out of the water, and a spirit in the form of a dove entered up on him, the Holy Ghost in the form of a dove, and a voice said from heaven, this is my beloved son, and I'm well pleased. And then Jesus performed his first miracle after he turned the water into wine.
Yeah.
Huh? I heard a story once that a black preacher down in Kentucky and the South once, about 3:30 in the morning, weaving across the line, a state police got behind him, pulled him over. He said, you been drinking? Also, he said, I seen you cutting across this line. Where you been at 3 o'clock in the morning? And he said, I've been out visiting some of my members. 3 o'clock in the morning? Yeah, he said, that bottle there in between you there, what is in that bottle? He said, oh, that's water. He said, let me see. He opened it and touched it. He said, that's not water, that's wine. He said, praise God, he's done it again.
Yeah.
How'd you get me off on that?
It's him.
Well, see, Jesus, I'm telling you, so here's how we're going to do it now. John 16, he read it a while ago. Look at 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you to all truth. And he is talking about the Holy Spirit now. And he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall he hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. Verse 14, he shall glorify me, God said, for he shall receive mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father have are mine, therefore I said, he shall take of mine and give it there. But verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is going to be your guide and your truth, watch him speak and show you. Verse 14, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. And so he said, he didn't of judgment, this man, let me get here. I have yet many things to say you cannot bear. Howbeit he, the Spirit of truth, come here to guide you in all truth. He shall not speak of himself. There it is. The Holy Spirit shall not speak of himself. You see? And whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And so God wants to use us in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, be honest, to live a successful Christian life and walk with God, you've got to know the doctrine of the Holy Spirit.
Yes, sir.
I've got the doctrine. Now, you have to know the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. And, oh, it's through the Holy Spirit. Now, I know I'm going to go over time. I better shut it off. I've got a track here. It says, what's the greatest reservation you ever made in your life right here? Last year, using this track here on this, I went through 100 salvation. I witnessed to 100 people. I kept up with it. Give or take, might have been 102. It might have been 98. And I saw 90 people bow their heads and ask Jesus Christ to forgive them their sins. And here, what's the greatest reservation? I'll ask you. I'm going to get on an airplane Monday morning. That's tomorrow morning, right?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to fly back to Honolulu and they won't let you on that airplane. You know why? You don't have a reservation. If I die tonight, I'm going to go to hell because I've already got a reservation made.
Amen.
And September 13, 1959, I go on my knees and said, God, I've committed every sin there is. I want you to forgive me of my sins and save me and take me to heaven when I die. And the Bible says, Romans 10:13, for whosoever calls on me, Lord, shall be saved. So I called on September 13, 1959. And if I die right now, I'm going to go to heaven while I got a reservation. I'm going to get on an airplane tomorrow morning because I got a reservation. And you don't have a reservation on an airplane, you're not going. And if you ain't made a reservation for heaven, you're not even going to go.
That's right.
It says, and so I opened it up, this reservation, this track. I got the copyright on this. I bought it. All have sinned. It's got pictures here. If you sin, you die, you're going to go to hell. Jesus died here on the cross for your sins. And whosoever shall call his name, Lord, shall be saved. We had to ask him. Like asking our wives to marry us. They wouldn't marry us if we hadn't asked them. You see? So Jesus is not going to save you now. He loves you and won't save you. You have to ask for it. Something you ask for. Huh? Now, I want to ask you a question. Where was you at when you got saved? Where do you know for sure? Just, I want you to really, don't tell me a verbal thing. Where was you at when you asked Jesus Christ for you? When you depended upon him to save you? If you know for sure you're going to go to heaven tonight, well, I think I've joined over 2,000 churches I've built. I promise God I'm going to build him 400 more. He'll let him live another 3 years. And I've got the proof to prove it, the letters to prove it. With a missionary, I pay 250 people a day, $8 a day, $1 an hour to go soul winning in Mexico City and Philippines. My church in Mexico, I think I have the largest that God's used with his money, I think I have the largest Baptist church in the world. Mm-hmm. Today we're going to have 24,000 people in Mexico City in the church I built there.
Amen.
They've already started over 500 churches from that one building, that one church I got there. 500. And so I show them this. If you die in your sins, you're going to go to hell. And so I can teach this. And I know what happened in the church. I know what can happen. You imagine you ask your dad and mother or somebody, some relative to go to church with you. No. Hey, I'll tell you about some others tonight even. There's an old bald-headed man from Kentucky and didn't know any sense at all, got saved, quit his drinking, hadn't drank in 5 or 7 years. He's going to be speaking at our church tonight. And you're going to tell him the formula how he made all that money. He made over $100 million. way over. And I like what you said. I hope I can live. I've been given $100 million. No, it's over 40. Over 40. And you ought to come hear him now. He's going to tell his formula. It's the formula he used to make all that money. See how you can get little visitors in? You don't tell. You don't, God's using this track. Well, okay, back to it now. The rest. Again, let me. I made a cake. Let me put the icing on it. Banana pudding. Boy, I love banana pudding. Mm-hmm. That's the other thing my wife had to be next for. I thank you. I appreciate you coming out today. You know, the Bible says the eyes of the Lord. Now, I'm trying to get you to go a little step further where you're in spiritual life. I want to be a better Christian next week than I am this week. Mm-hmm. I tell Derek God that. I write to God letters all the time. It's amazing. I saw one I wrote here 19 years ago, if I can't find it. And so, 19 years ago. Oh, 9:24:01. I believe and claim by faith I will continue to study God's word and obey and practice his teachings. God will use me to do great and wonderful things before I die and meet him in glory. Number one, I got John 16:1-15, what you read. I've got to depend upon the Holy Spirit of God to magnify Jesus through my life. And I go ahead and write the rest, and I tell God what I'm going to do. So right now, I'm going to close now. I'm going to give you. You ought to give God a chance to prove himself. Or go to the next level. I don't know where you are, but the more you do for God, the more he does for you.
Yes, sir.
Now, decisions, I had to make a decision one time. I had to turn my back on wine, women, and song. I had to turn my back upon what Jesus did and confess those sins, 28 years. Best thing about it, oh, I just thought of this. Can I have to? I'll take it. You know, I could have all my sins listed in heaven. I've got to, God, I'm so sorry that night. I was in Hazard, Kentucky, and we got six cases of beer. Started home and turned that car over and cut the top out of it and cut my eye and my ear. I'm so sorry. He looked at my sins and said, "Why, Russ, that's not even on your account. I don't know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Though your sins be as scarlet, they'd be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, my bow, I'll throw them behind my back. I never remember more. Not even against the count."
Yes.
God gives you a clean slate. God don't even remember that.
Right.
Ain't that good? Amen. But the old devil, I told Brother Boss, you know, no. Neither one of us was angels. We just tell you not. We lived a wicked life. But God has forgiven us that, but we still remember it. This scar of mirror of my eye, I shall cut it. We remember. Old devil's going to remind us. You know why the devil reminds you? He's jealous because Jesus took you away from him.
That's right.
Huh? So I'm here to tell you, I'm begging you to give God a chance. If you're here and you're not saved, this ship I was going to tell you about. I went down from top floor down on deck five, walked down the shop, and the manager, "Oh, I remember you on a cruise a few months ago." "Yes." "I want to do the plan of salvation, her and a new employee." "You want to receive Christ? You want to be saved?" "No." I asked her employee, "Yes." And he got saved. He asked the Lord to forgive him his sin and save him. So about an hour later I circled back and I said to the manager, "May I ask you another question? I talked to you a while ago about Jesus. What sin are you committing that you don't want to give up and ask Jesus for your sin and go to heaven, and you're going to go to hell and burn forever?" She said, "I'd like to make that decision right now." "Mm-hmm." "Right now. I've heard enough. I want to make a decision." "Now, you heard enough. I can go on. I can just keep going right on till dark. I live for one thing, and that's to tell you how good that Jesus did for an old, uneducated coal miner. Yeah. All because I gave him a chance to prove himself." "Wives, your husband married you to give you a chance that you could prove and love him. You've done it. It's his his responsibility now to let you know he loves you." I'm glad you won't let me tell another illustration. Listen to this, ladies. You're looking like this. A man came home from work. And his wife said, "Look over there. Every night of the week, when John comes home, he brings his wife a dozen roses or a box of candy. every night, and she kisses them right on the porch, and they go in the house. Says, why don't you do that? He said, I don't even know that woman. There you are, husbands. Now, wives, let me give you a little hint. An old man, 87 years old, 180. Get you a piece of paper. Right on the bottom of it, you can put a lot of lipstick on it and kiss it.
And you put it on the door, he comes in. No candy, no roses, no kisses.
Now, that was worth coming.
Amen.
Or, now, I'm begging you now. I know where I'd have been. I'd been in hell today if God hadn't saved me. I've been in hell. Crying and screaming. Rich man died, was buried in hell. When you die, the soul departs from this body, but this body goes either to heaven, the soul goes to heaven or hell. The man died, was buried, and in hell lifted up his eyes. And here's what he said. Father, Abraham, send Lazarus. He may tip his finger in water and touch my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. You know that man still that seal yet there 3,000 feet left? He's in hell.
Yep.
And still he got to meet God for what's going on. Now, this morning, God told you to come to church so that you could hear me. To give God a chance to prove himself. Go to the next level. And remember what I said. I'm with the richest bunch of people I've had in ages. What you people are helping this pastor do. And God's going to reward you for it. I want to encourage you to do more. Talk about the church. This, why? Go to the Bible. Give you a chance to prove yourself now. Get, let God take it over. Here you're not saved. What sins are you committing? And old devil's going to fight you. He's going to tell you you can't have any fun. He told me that. He's going to give you all that. You think about getting saved, and old devil's going to give you 100 reasons why you should not. Why you should get saved and join this church. And you who are working and haven't gone so much, keep going, keep doing more and more and more.
Hey.
If an 87-year-old man can fly all night, humped up in like this, like a mummy, an Egyptian mummy, press for time. And then fly all night, and then almost all the day, you're getting here yesterday. Getting on a plane tomorrow night, tomorrow morning. I got another 18, 20 hours back. And tomorrow night, about 11 o'clock, when you're asleep, I'll be getting off the airplane in Honolulu. If I can do that, what more can you do? You know, I don't do that for money. I do that to let God, Jesus know I love him.
Amen.
I love him more. Our Father, you've done so much in my life. I beg you all the time, don't let me die. I want to go around and brag what a great God you are. I want to go and brag on you, and I want to tell people what you've done through my life. Now, I want to give you a chance to do more. With their heads bowed now, no one looking around. How many would say, Brother Anderson, I know for sure, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that I'm going to go to heaven if I die today. I've already made that reservation. Would you lift your hand? I've already made that reservation. I know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, I've got to go to heaven. All right, let me put your hands down. How many would say, Mr. Anderson, I come here today, I'm not exactly sure. I know the devil had victory in my life for so long, just like in your life for 28 years, and Brother Boss is 51. And so I want you to do something for me like you did for them. Won't you forgive me of my sins and save me? Is there someone here today say, Brother Anderson, pray for me? Now, every head bowed, no one look at me. How many would say, with my hand raised, I want to go to heaven when I die. I'm not sure I'm going to go. Would you raise your hand? I know. Okay, I see it. I see it. I see it. Is there another? I see it, yes. Is that? Are there anyone else? Someone raise your hand. No more looking at me now. Say, I want to go to heaven when I die. I see it. I see it. I see it. Now, with their heads bowed down, no one looking but you people who raise your hands. Will you look at me? Everybody else, keep your eyes shut. You look at me. God loves you so much, he sent Jesus to die for you. He wants to forgive you of your sins. But the old devil's going to fight you now. But he's going to have you just sit there and die and go to hell. He don't want you to get saved. But he wants to save you. He will if you ask. You just like asking your wife to marry you. You've got to ask him. Now, right now, you who raise your hand, look at me. And I want you to imagine you're talking to Jesus. Here, I want you to say to him, he knows your mind. You just say it silently. He'll hear you. I want you to say, "Dear Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I know if I die in my sins, I'm going to go to hell. I don't want to go to hell. I'm going to ask you now to forgive me of my sins and make me a reservation in heaven." And if you prayed that and meant it from your heart, would you raise your hands? All right. Would you raise your hand? All right. All right. Let's all stand.